This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, it is Thursday, September the 20th, and we have this special podcast for you, and I encourage everybody to give this a listen and pass along to everybody you know, because we got some a fantastic update for you from Tom Coughlin and our buddy Andrew McGuire. You may recall Tom Coughlin is the CEO of the Allocated Bullion Exchange, but both he and Andy are involved in something called Kinesis, which is a gold-backed, we'll call it cryptocurrency, but really it's a, there's really no other way to describe it other than a revolutionary new monetary system. Tom's the CEO of Kinesis. Andy's on the advisory board. You all know Andy is a longtime precious metals advocate as well. We've had them on before. I want to have them on again because we need a progress update. So, gentlemen, thank you for taking some time. Tom, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Craig. Thanks for having me back.
And Andy, you've been traveling the world too, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I say I have, but somehow I always wake up thinking the same thing, which is gold, silver, and where we're going in as this very exciting time. And Tom's going to talk about really what I'm so excited about.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Tom, the last time we all spoke, this project was moving forward. The white paper was out. You guys were very encouraged about the progress you were making. I'd like to, at this point, just turn it over to you and bring everybody up to speed on the progress that has been made and where you stand in getting this project rolled out.
Yeah, thanks, Craig. And for the benefits of, I guess, your new listeners, I'll just quickly give a brief overview of what we're doing, which is, I mean, Kinesis Monetary System. What we're developing there is a full end-to-end monetary system whereby someone can basically enter the system and look after all their monetary and financial needs and banking needs ultimately. So it's a place whereby someone comes into the system, they actually mint or create their own money, right? The money is actually gold or silver. That's really what it is. It's basically gold or silver on the blockchain. In divisible currency units whereby they can send, spend, sell it, purchase things, goods and services, interact with merchants all outside of the purview of the central planners and outside of the banking system in a much more secure, efficient and rewarding system overall, both individually and collectively. So, and where we are basically there, we've had an offer open. We call it the Kinesis Velocity Tokens. Why is it called Velocity? Well, this goes back to our name. Kinesis in Greek means movement. And basically for money to be successful and sustainable, it actually needs to be used as money. So it needs to actually have all the quality and characteristics of money, and it needs to be moving, changing hands and being utilized as money. And the rate at which it changes hands is called velocity. So our velocity token offering is basically the ability, it provides the ability for the average person to actually buy into the success of the system and then participate in the gold and silver currency. It's called like ICO, initial coin offering. They get these like beneficial yield rates and everything like that. And, you know, we just went public sale the other day and we published sales, KVT sales of around 57,000, full price is 1,000 each. So it's around like it's over a $50 million raise to date. And that's large in any sort of space. So we're very pleased with our current figures there. So that's not, like I said, KVT is buying into the success of the system. It's 20% of the overall transaction fees or top line revenue of the system. So the next offer, which will be coming in November 12th, that opens, is for the gold and silver coins. And this is something that's going to have rather dramatic effects on the physical market because we're already registering all the interest for the gold and silver currencies all around the world. We're going to be bringing in actual vaults and vault loads of metal, both gold and silver, around the world. And as I might have explained previously, the whole thing with Kinesis is we're focused in on what makes money both successful but also sustainable. And what makes money successful and sustainable is, one, it needs to be an efficient medium of exchange, and two, it needs to be a store of value, an effective store of value. So, I mean, ultimately, on the store of value side, gold is the greatest store of value the world has seen, and, you know, silver's pretty good as well, valued by ancient civilizations for thousands of years, and it's held its value over time, and it's relatively stable, certainly much more stable than any other, say, cryptocurrency out there. But, you know, what, you know, we see, say, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple having very significant problems in actually being money and being considered money. We just see them being a replication in digital form, basically a fiat money, because there's no intrinsic value. And, you know, they're up and down, and money's supposed to serve the commerce of the world, ultimately, and we don't see these currencies serving commerce of the world. So we've taken what cryptocurrency technology and blockchain technology has done, right, which is provide the most efficient medium of exchange in the world. The blockchain's amazing. Whatever you think about cryptocurrency, it doesn't matter. The blockchain is amazing. It connects parties all around the world efficiently in a trustless environment where someone sitting in New York can, you know, interact with someone in South Korea or Tokyo or Sydney or wherever without even knowing them. And a trade can be basically, you know, settled and affected within, you know, a couple of seconds. In our system, you know, we can handle like a minimum of 3,000 transactions a second per currency. And it's up to 10,000, and have 3 to 5 second settlement time. So it's highly efficient, and everyone can sort of transact with one another all around the world. And then, you know, like, so basically what we've done, just to sum that up, is we've taken the greatest store of value that the world's ever seen, and we've married it up with the most efficient medium of exchange that the world's ever seen. So it's like, you know, the new world meeting the old world, and taking the best out of both. And then just to sort of ensure our success and hypercharge it, we call it kinetically charge it. We've added this incentivizing yield system, which basically incentivizes people's participation and also collective success within the system. And, you know, basically we've got a system whereby people are incentivized to move their capital into the system. It's through producing highly attractive risk-to-return investment ratios or investment metrics, and then focusing in on putting that capital into motion. So basically, you know, re-monetizing it effectively, because money is the most liquid asset that the world's ever seen. So how do we, you know, make it attractive for capital to move in? We make it attractive, whether it be at the individual level or at the institutional level, through producing a yield. So we have a passive yield in our system where someone can just put their, you know, capital in our system, in our gold or silver coins, and then, you know, putting a yield or a return on it, which makes it comparable with any other mainstream asset class. So this is where we change the dynamics of gold, the gold and silver markets. By putting a non-debt-based yield on it, we start becoming comparable to, say, you know, bank deposits, bonds, dividend-yielding stocks, rental property investments, etc., that have this passive yield. Suddenly, you know, instead of your gold just sort of sitting there burning a hole in your pocket, paying storage fees and having opportunity cost on it, we actually strip away storage fees. So in Kinesis system, there are no storage fees. And we also give you a yield. And if the money velocity rates are anything, say, like the US dollar, then you're going to be earning like 10% yield per year. But then in addition to that, to defeat this concept of Gresham's law, we have a system whereby the average person can go and mint their own currency, right? So basically you exchange your fiat or you exchange your metal in our system for our like digital currency, and then send, spend, or sell it, then you receive another yield. So you're actually incentivized to send, spend, sell. In other words, actually use your money. So when picking up a US dollar or when picking up, you know, a Kinesis coin, which one am I going to use? One that I can get a yield from forever or one that's just gone? And so that's what we really focused in on. And this Gresham's Law, defeating the Gresham's Law concept, is really important. It's what's held back gold and silver from being re-monetized in the past. And we're really focused in on providing the incentives to do that. And we're really excited about that. And, you know, we are rolling out a number of initiatives for everyone to participate in this system. And, you know, we can come back and talk about different initiatives later. But, you know, where we're going at the moment, we're super excited. We're rolling out a number of very attractive, well, highly compelling institutional deals. We're integrating up with a large mobile bank at the moment, which will allow people to just do international banking. So you can just log in on your phone, log in on the internet, use your Kinesis coin, spend it anywhere. We've got debit cards issued globally. We're doing a big batch of Kinesis debit cards right at this moment in time. There's going to be some photos floating around shortly, and you know we're getting our minimum viable product out there and getting market feedback from it, and it's pretty big news what we're doing. We're super excited about it, and there's a lot of people super excited about it. And the more people we can reach, and the more people that will join our journey, you know, we want to go out to the masses. Ultimately, and the more people we can bring in to participate with us, the more excited we are about this. So that's a brief high-level overview of where we are.
And so, Tom, there's this initial Velocity token offering that goes through November the 11th, and then a second one after that. How close are you to actually making financial transactions, actually having the system up and running in certain parts around the world?
So the full system will launch next March. That's the full end-to-end monetary system from basically, you know, coin creation to people participating within our ecosystem with the mobile banking. We have our own, like, distributed blockchain exchange, which allows, you know, instantaneous exchanges of currency effectively in the system, and we'll even have merchants in there accepting, you know, our coins, or not even they don't even need to accept. It's just an ecosystem whereby people can buy and sell things, and all the currency exchanges are done automatically to native currencies even. And so it's a brand new monetary system which sits outside of our existing monetary system, and it's backed one for one 100% by gold or by silver. And so that's the true money of the universe, created by the universe for the people, non-corruptible, non-debt based. And ultimately, you know, I see this sort of tide turning, and I don't know whether you can hold it back, because the people are fed up with the current incumbent system. And, you know, we're seeing this at the moment. This great experiment of fiat money is coming to an end. And, you know, we started this journey a long time ago with ABX back in 2011 in actually producing a one-for-one allocated physical institutional exchange. And that's made a lot of big inroads. We've got partnerships with like Deutsche Börse, one of the largest exchange groups in the world. And we've got our crosshairs on London. I mean, this is no mucking around now. We roll out with Deutsche Börse early next year, in the first half of next year. And we're going in with even much bigger firepower than what the London market even has, you know. And we've all got our crosshairs on London. And so it's been a very sequential strategic plan to get to where we are. First, you know, we need the institutional market, but then the next evolutionary step, let's monetize it all. And let's not even just monetize it all. Let's create great incentive for everyone to participate in this thing. And, you know, we've got some great videos out there looking at sort of the evolution over the last little while since the great financial crisis, global financial crisis, and, you know, where we are now. And, you know, I encourage your listeners to sort of look us up, kinesis.money, but also watch some of our videos out there. You know, we've got this ambassador brand initiative going whereby everyone can participate, you know, and bring in their friends and family. And and ultimately everyone benefits from it. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to look us up, do their own research, and see what they think. But we'd love to have you along for the journey.
Yeah, and that would be the last question, Tom. I'm going to post a video on this page. No doubt people have seen it embedded here on this page. And yeah. At the end of that video, you get a chance to, I guess it takes about a minute, and you sign up, you get an ID number. You don't have to be an accredited investor to get an ID number. You can just get an ID number, right. And then you can relink that video and kind of send out, you know, this kind of web that just could expand exponentially of people that can become aware of Kinesis, right?
It's going viral right now, and we haven't even pushed it. We haven't even got into it, but it's starting to go viral, and we'd love everyone to participate for right. sure.
So please check out that video when you're done listening to this. Andy, I want to ask you, you're on the advisory board of Kinesis and the Kinesis monetary system. First, tell everybody what has you so excited and why this is like your sole focus at this point.
Well, coming off the back of what Tom's just said, you can see why I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a complete change in the way ultimately gold and silver will be valued. And it'll be valued in the physical market. And by adopting the Kinesis monetary system, the Kinesis currency, what we're doing is essentially completely bypassing the debt-based system. And every time people use the system, and it's up to us, the people, to adopt this and use it. The power is in our hands, and this is the beauty of the Kinesis monetary system. It puts the power back with the people, and that's another reason why Tom's been very, very careful about not taking some very large offers to buy all the KVTs, and we could have done that almost within the first month or so. Tom has been very careful to make sure that the Kinesis system is in the hands of the people and is diversely held. And you know, we all know what the power of concentration can do. The last thing we want is to allow anybody to take a concentrated position in Kinesis. So, you know, really, that's to me, I'm just so excited. I'm proud to be associated with it. I mean, again, you have a link perhaps that will explain it a little better. Sometimes a video is better, you know, and then you just look at it and see exactly why I'm so excited, why Tom's so excited, why everyone we've spoken to is so excited. Essentially, what we're looking at is a currency that is addressing a broken banking system.
Yeah. And the more demand and the more use and the more velocity of Kinesis means more and more gold and silver, actual, physical, allocated, held in a vault, taken away from the bullion bank's hands, gold and silver, is required, right? So this is finally maybe a way that, you know, this fight you and I have been battling now for more than a decade, maybe it's a way we're finally going to take it to them.
Well, this is it. We have to take responsibility for everything in life. And the last thing we need is some central planner making decisions for us. We have the power to, and with a currency system, we have the power to do that.
All right, my friend, I'd be remiss without at least picking your brain on a couple of things in regards to gold and silver. So let's wrap up with this. Like I said, I know you're busy and this Kinesis is taking almost all of your time, but I know you're also watching gold and silver. So I want to ask you about two specific things so we get your opinion on this stuff. One, Andy, you were on King World News last week talking about how the price of COMEX gold is now tracking the Chinese yuan. And I got people, I've been beating that drum since the middle of June. And I had people calling me up, or not calling me, but emailing me saying, "Hey, you guys obviously just talk and coordinate your message." First of all, you and I haven't talked, unfortunately.
No, we haven't.
I mean, we just see the same stuff, man. We're focused on these markets. We can't help but see the same stuff. Why is it, Andy? What do you think is driving this correlation? Is it just simple delta hedging by the banks? You know, they've moved from the yen to the yuan. Is it the Chinese and the People's Bank of China ultimately now seizing control of the gold price mechanism from London? You know, they've been buying vaults and all this other stuff, making themselves a part of the fix now for the last 5 years. What do you think is behind this? Is it just a temporary correlation? I mean, what does your gut tell you?
Absolutely not a correlation, not a temporary correlation. And really, as we say, it's not the COMEX yuan price. It's actually the yuan price of gold. And of course, that's the key here.
Right.
And by creating that stable price, now we look at since the currency wars, the trade wars morphed into a currency wars, and probably mid-June is when it really escalated. Now, since then, we've seen the COMEX price, the spot price of gold, move probably close to 12% in a 12% range. In that entire period, the gold price in yuan terms, 2%. Now, really, that says it all. How is that being done? Well, obviously that we don't have time to go into all the detail of it, but bottom line, China is basically using gold using, there's two things going on here. Number one, by tit for tat devaluing the yuan with the dollar, they've offset a lot of the trade the effect of the trade sanctions. But really, the enveloping horn attack, you know, and we always talk about GATA and the enveloping golden horn attack. Well, it's on hegemony. It's on the US dollar hegemony. And this is really what this fight is all about. And it's no coincidence that the US Sino trade wars began to brew at the very same week that the petro yuan was announced back in March. 50% of a $14 trillion a year energy market gets consumed in Asia. That's $4.5 trillion market. Obviously, this has the central planners on high alert. And by providing a stable yuan gold price to all of the oil producers, the commodity sellers into China, really, what do you need to worry about? The price of gold in Venezuelan currency, in US dollar prices, it matters not when you can trade in a currency that is stable. And to boot, the second part of this is by the knee-jerk reaction is, of course, we see the price of gold coming down. This is the enveloping horn. China is then buying cheap bullion with strong dollars and divesting strong dollars to buy cheap bullion to bolster that trade. Mm-hmm. And this is the beauty of it. And I think people just don't get exactly. I mean, you know, these escalating trade wars have really, let's face it, they've morphed into currency wars. No one will dispute that. And that in turn has triggered an emerging market meltdown. And so really, if we drill down into it, and I know we don't have long, but obviously this poses a major risk to deeply entrenched taxpayer-funded too big to fail banks. And we were just talking a minute ago about a broken banking system. Nobody can deny that a situation we're in now, negative interest rates, et cetera, this is a broken banking system. But when you realize that $10 trillion worth of liabilities in the U.S. are issued by non-residents of the U.S., and held on the balance sheets of these soon-to-be-held-out bullion banks, you have to give your head a shake that the stock market is rallying. Now, the current emerging market meltdown, it's creating, obviously, a spiraling dollar liquidity crisis that sucks dollars inflows into what happens to be the best of all these worthless fiat currency crosses. And, of course, as the dollar strengthens, the ability to service these foreign debts becomes strained. And a good deal of this $10 trillion of foreign dollar debts are invested in failing property markets where the bubble is already bursting and revenues in their own currencies are declining. So, really, what have we got here? We have a situation where we have an accelerating impending problem. And it amazes me that how blinkered this bubble rich stock market, risk on chasing stock market, is ignoring the fact that these trade wars have morphed into something far, far more serious.
And on that peg, I think you've explained well what I've kind of settled upon too, is that if China's trying to take a bite out of the petrodollar and that system, and they're trying to get their own toehold by offering, we'll call it that petro yuan, that yuan-denominated crude oil contract. If you want to get market share, you've got to convince the people that are exchanging their crude oil and their energy for yuan. You've got to provide some stability for the yuan. So if the yuan is now trading on a same percentage basis as gold to the dollar as gold is trading to the dollar, then essentially gold and yuan are pegged. And you're buying that strength. You're saying, look, the yuan's as good as gold. The price changes is the same. And that, to me, that's what's behind this.
Yeah, and if you're Iran or you're Russia and you want a stable price for your oil,
yep,
and it's convertible, of course, that's. I mean, this is it. I mean, this is the beauty of this. And what amazes me is that people actually are so myopically focused on the synthetic markets and the reaction of one correlation to another, they fail to see that this China is hitting back in a very strategic way. And I think it was it last week we saw, I think the Wall Street Journals said, basically they repeated one of Trump's tweets. And I've no issue with Trump, but basically, and I think he's playing as strong a hand as he can. But one of the things he said is that, and he revealed his weak flank here, is our markets are surging, theirs are collapsing. Well, what he's saying here is, as long as the stock market is rising, I'm going to be strong. But what he's saying, and conversely is, and China is going to target this, is the fact that should the stock market start to weaken, and should we see this emerging market fall out, then essentially what we're going to see is a collapsing stock market and Trump rethinking his poker hand.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. And of course, we've seen more statements since then. From Trump's now coming and actually exposing this Achilles heel by saying, I think it was only yesterday or the day before yesterday, he said, if China retaliates and tries to influence the election, what's he talking about there? He's talking about a collapsing attacking the stock market by targeting some of the American investors who have investments in Chinese stocks, who may have to pull some of those investments. Which, what's that going to do? It's going to trigger a potential 25% collapse in in the stock market. So, this is such an interesting dynamic, and it amazes me that that people are happy to be spoon-fed from the Reuters, from the various mainstream medias, that the China's on the back foot, we're on the front foot. Not so.
Yeah. Andy, just one last quick question, because I'd be, again, remiss if I didn't ask you this while I had you here. There's a lot of talk from gold analysts about this, what they call historic and extreme nature of the Cott Report. I personally have a little different take on this, and so I want to see what you think of this. Everybody, you and I have always talked about the wash-rinse cycle, right? And usually that's because the speculators get long 300,000 contracts and the banks get short 300,000 contracts, and it just becomes, the most easily predictable thing in the world. The price is going to get washed out and the specs are going to be forced to dump and all that kind of stuff. Well, now people are applying that same logic to the Cott because the speculators are now net short and the banks are net long, but it's not to that same extreme. The last report, the specs were only net short something like 13,000 contracts, and the commercials were net long 13. And so I view it as being maybe not the slam dunk bullish signal as much as it is kind of a new equilibrium. What, just briefly, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh God, I'll try and be brief. this is a mind blow. I mean, obviously, first of all, COT report. Why is it when the information is there at the end of each trading day, as it used to be when TOCOM used to publish it, why are we waiting 3 days?
Right.
It's because it's a tool. It's just another tool of smoke and mirrors market and to be able to hide your footprints, chart, paint the charts. Okay, so accepting that it's at face value, we're already seeing, on the other hand, migration from the various categories as, and this is evidence we provided 2011 that said, hang on, what's the Eastern European outfit doing? What's this big major bank doing in this category or that other category?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be there. Why is a Cayman? Why is a massive Cayman over-the-counter transaction happening exactly at the same time as a collapse in gold or silver? And okay, so what we're seeing now is finally we're seeing some of these migrations. So we're seeing the other reportables, we're seeing the swap dealers, we're seeing some of the producer merchants move categories. So this is one confusion.
Right.
But you know, really, but where we are really right now, and I think this is the interesting thing, is we're talking about China attacking the 400-ounce bullion bar market. Why? Because that's really part of the process. There's very, in fact, people would not realize how tight the physical market is for size. And so we say, look, okay, so this is a wash and rinse cycle. And we see already, we see on the CO2 report, clearly we see, if you connect the dots, officials are already seeking to hedge pretty much an enormous physical exposure in the futures and swap markets against a naked short synthetic momentum position or a spec position, which is their only available form of hedge. But here's the thing. Although the synthetic hedging may satisfy and balance off ultimately in a wash and rinse cycle the paper market equation, it does not produce any deliverable bullion to replace lost, dwindling real physical inventory flowing out of the LBMA vaults into China. I think China's 100% for its yuan price. I think that's what this is all about right now. And I think the COT report is just pretty much smoke and mirrors. I know a lot of people would be offended by that because they spend a lot of time analyzing it. But I think it's just really, let's look at what's really happening from a wholesale market perspective based upon what's happening in the COT report.
Yeah, you talk about those offshore accounts that all these banks and sovereign funds use. Who's to say that that huge speculator short position isn't actually sovereign money from China to enforce that peg? I mean, you could go down
absolutely
that road too.
Well, this is it. There's no visibility. We know it's unregulated, and one of the beauties is, you know, coming back to what Tom said earlier, we with our relationships with the ABX's relationships with Deutsche Börse, the ability for Kinesis to access these massive liquidity. What's going to happen here is we're going to see Kinesis coming in and actually determining a physical price. It's going to blow people's minds what that really is.
Exactly, and that's why I'm so excited about what you guys are doing and so happy to support what you're doing. And I just wish you all the best. I just want to see it continue on the time frame that you've laid out, you know, and let's get rolling in 2019. And I just can't wait to see how this is going to impact things. Tom, anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, not really. Just I just want to thank you and your listeners. And I'd certainly welcome them to check us out, kinesis.money, kinesis.money, and to do their own research. We've got a lot of information on the site. And just to echo what both yourself and Andy were saying, I mean, this thing has been planned for a very long time. And it's been strategically and sequentially sort of rolled out in a way that ultimately we see it having quite significant consequences on the gold and silver prices. And the old, we're looking ultimately, in fact, this is the greatest chance that I've ever seen for there to be a very, very serious migration from the paper market pricing mechanism into the physical market pricing mechanism. And with that, I mean, what I contend with conviction is that we will see likely a market failure out of London. London holds very, very small pools ultimately of metal. And if you see a migration of markets, then you're going to see a market failure ultimately. So that's likely, I'd say likely going to be the case, because this ICO that we're putting together, initial coin offering, which is going to be open for a number of months, opening in November, so from November 12, where people can basically either migrate their gold and silver holdings into the system, no longer have to pay storage fees and receive a yield, or actually, you know, exchange their fiat, then, I mean, that's just going to suck liquidity out of the system. And every position closed in London or on COMEX, and they're inherently connected, then basically what you have is like basically physical delivery of the metal occurring. And our whole thing is sucking that into our system and then monetizing it. And that's truly what metal should be, yep. Monetized. And you receive a yield and you get rewarded for actually utilization and participation in the system. So that's really my closing remarks, Craig. I look forward to talking further in the future.
Tom, please keep rolling. Appreciate it. Keep traveling the world and making this happen. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
And Andy, thanks for all your hard work as well.
Thanks
for your insights. And hopefully you and I will get caught up again soon, too.
Look forward to it.
And everybody, thank you for listening. And again, please take this link and send it out to everybody. Have them listen. Sign up. Get an ID number at Kinesis. Send that video out. I mean, this is our chance to take some control of the monetary future, and I encourage everybody to check it out. Again, thanks for listening. Everybody have a great rest of your day.